see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watching for Jesus Bible study for tonight. We'll study tonight Matthew 13. Excuse me. Revelation 13. I was going to cover Matthew 24, 25, but I need to boil that down a little more detail, a little more simply. It's a long study, very long study. And I have to simplify it just a tad bit, because it can go into a complete week at least. There's like five sections that burn down from 24th and 25th, Matthew 24, 25. And it covers that entire scope. Those two chapters coincide with Daniel, Isaiah, Revelation. It's all one book. The Olivet Discourse of Matthew 24 and 25 tells us what's going to happen. It would do the Joint Chief of Staff and the CFR to actually know, because there's nothing they can do to stop it. Nothing they can do. And they're really trying to. This is the biggest picture. Everybody else is worried about Ferguson, and they're worried about GMO products and flying meteorites and all kinds of stuff they got out there going on. Ebola, I think it wasn't, what's that guy, the evangelist, Bagley or whatever, saying that there's like, you know, we're already in this trumpet judgments, all this other nonsense. It's just unbelievable. It seems to be picking up the pace. And they are trained, Jesuits, trained to, if you preach one way in the First Baptist, you'll do it very calmly. And we're going to talk about, and then if you're not, you're going to a Pentecostal or other kind of church, you're going to, they all adjusted accordingly to the audience so they can get those donations going at 10%, which is not true, and all sorts of things. 10% to tithing is Old Testament. The New Testament says you give as God touches you. 10%, 20, 30, 40, whatever. Holy Spirit tells you. The difference is the dispensation of the Holy Spirit that connects everybody. The connector is the being born again. But the Spirit wasn't in folks before the Old Testament, so the law was to say, this is what you're going to do. You're going to come to church on Sunday. You're going to give 10%. Whatever. But that applied to the Jews too, by the way. Not the Gentiles. Then after, in dispensation of Jesus, when he came down, died, resurrected, ascended, Holy Spirit's within those that accept Jesus as Savior. Man, he's with you 24 hours, 7 days a week, and even the thoughts before you know you're going to have them. It's tighter than it was in the Old Testament. If I look upon a woman, I've committed adultery right then, right there. Just looking. If I say, wow, what a car. Look, man, I'd like to have that car. I've already lusted after the car. I've already coveted the car. I've committed that crime. And I don't have to go kill an animal to repent for it. I just got to say, Lord, stop. I need help. He's inside you. He's listening to you. A cross on your chest means nothing. I can't hold on to my cross on my chest. So what? They could take away the cross on your chest and melt it down. So what? They can't take away the Spirit of God inside you. People aren't being taught the truth. Right now, the churches have been infiltrated. I talked about that today in a lot of detail in the broadcast. So to turn off that in-touch discernment and wisdom, they have distractions. Everything. The five senses. They've analyzed. They have analyzed the five senses. So now how can we distract the five senses of these humans? And that's what they've tried to do. This is the big picture of what's going on today. And boy, it's picking up steam too. YouTubes and Facebooks and all that stuff. They've got task forces out there too. And they all claim to know Jesus. They say, I love God, I love Jesus. Oh yeah, this, that, and the other. And they absolutely do not. You can tell by the words they use. Let's dedicate the broadcast. And I want to talk about tonight, Revelation 13. I decided. And talk about the identification of the first beast of the Revelation 13. I think that's appropriate because he's on the way. Antichrist and the false prophet. So much deception going on today about the end times events, setting up for the fallen angels, Sanand Emanuel. 98% of churches aren't even talking about this. But who the real Jesus is, and the one that's the fake one, being kept in the dark. That's the one thing that the New Age and the infiltrators of the churches are trying to keep silent is about who the real Jesus is. This one, Sanand Emanuel, the fallen angel, who looks like we think Jesus looks like, is Yeshua. It's not Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This is the biggest hoax ever put on the face of this planet, ever. It's going to take down millions when it happens. And when you preach against this fake Jesus, boy, you're going to draw fire. Let me tell you what. They're going to get real serious then. It won't be no fun and games and discussions and debates and all that stuff. It's going to get serious, deadly serious, when this finally happens. That's what I look for. That's what I keep focused on. is that event that's going to change everything in one day. In 1 hour, all riches will come to naught. In 1 hour, the whole world will be turned upside down. David Wilkerson talked about this, the last great evangelist, who was murdered too, by the way. If you study his death. Lord, we thank you tonight. We come together in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father, we pray. Father, we call upon you, Lord, to protect us today. Protect us every day with the blood of Jesus as we put on the full armor of God. Father, to carry us through these studies. We're going to need that supernatural help. Father, to carry us through. The Lord, we see things changing. And the pulpits are carrying on as if nothing, and just going through the traditional teachings. But Father, the churches are infiltrated. Father, we call upon you to expose those infiltrators. To give courage to the congregations, Lord, to speak up when they hear wrong teaching coming down. That the King James Bible is the sole authority. But Father, many have the wrong Bibles. Father, I know the falling away is just that. But Father, we need help to help those that are being deceived. We do pray for our families, Lord, to lift the scales off their eyes. Give their bodies healings. And Father, give us wisdom and discernment that we'll know what to say when the time comes. And the appointments you give us that we can witness the right word. And the courage to stand up for what we believe through the Word of God. We pray tonight, Father, you lead us through. Help me, Lord, as I carry through this Bible study for tonight. All these things we pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Revelation 13. The identification of the first beast of Revelation. The ideas for deception. Isn't that really bizarre? That we even have to discuss these things, that this is the real story. Oh, we got to pick up the kids at school. We have a reunion this weekend, and all the kids got a basketball game tonight, and all this stuff. All that's to keep us busy. Chapter 13 of the Antichrist. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. Upon his horns, ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were as feet of the bear. His mouth was the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him power, his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. I tell you what, let's get innovative here. And I'll give you all a treat. And we'll do this. Let's see. King James Bible. The only true word that you got on the face of this planet. You all know that, right? The King James Bible is the only one without exception.
Revelation 13.
There you go.
And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth, and them which dwell therein, to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand, or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666.
Well, that's a pretty significant part of this. This operation that's going to happen on the biggest scale, as we see, we talk about the mark of the beast, and everybody speculates as to what it is, a digital tattoo or whatever. And then the Seventh-day Adventists say, well, no, the mark of the beast is going to church on Sundays. They're stuck with that. Yeah, well, anyway, go figure. How's that the Seventh-day Adventist saying that the mark of the beast is just going to church on Sunday? Well, they're trying to say that because on Sunday is the Roman Catholic Church, and so the Roman Catholic Church is the beast. That's how they're getting that. They're trying to sneak that in on you. They're good. They're really good. Satan really works on these religions. See, people stuck on religion. Stuck in religion. Religion's a killer, man. It's not about religion. It's about Jesus. It's not about a church or some preacher that you really like. Who cares? It's about Jesus Christ that you like. That's what cares. It's not a religion. It's not a 4 walls. It's not, I've been going to this church for so long, I can't stop that. What are you talking about? This is about Jesus. It's not about Billy Graham. It's not about the Pope. It's not about Osteen or not about some religion or whatever. Jesus is the name, not about America, bring Republic back, all this stuff. Man, people are so divided, mixed up, and going after the secular things of this world and not the truth. And that's Jesus. Fight for Jesus, not all this stuff on earth. Everything on this earth is going down. Everything. There is nothing on this earth It's going to stand. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. And yet we still keep holding on, man, holding on. Chapter 13, what it does is it sort of introduces us to the two great beasts. One of them rises out of the sea, when you read the scriptures, and the other, one out of the earth, or land, that is, the land of Israel. Now, there's no doubt that these beasts symbolize men who will play a role during this tribulation period. And they combine, when you read this, look at the scriptures that you just heard Max McLean say. They combine the features of the four beasts of Daniel, of Daniel 7, 3 to 7. And we covered Daniel. I had not planned it this way. It just kind of worked out. Daniel, and then I think it was Thursday, Friday was Isaiah. And then, boom, here we are. On Tuesday, talking about Revelation 13, which is bringing together Daniel and Isaiah. That's why you see Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Not to add to or take away the prophecy of this book. This book is not talking about just the book of Revelation. No. Talking about the Bible. God saw the whole Bible being put together by righteous men that he led, including King James, just to authorize it, and 47 real scholars, not the fake ones you got in Harvard and Princeton and Stanford, and I don't know, just pick a college that they have today, literally. We've proven, I'm not going to go over it now, I would digress if I did, but the evidence is slam dunk that every college, literally, every university and every public school have been infiltrated. And there are schools of humanism, every single one of them. That's heavy to know that what the professors teach are lies. Literally. Jesuits, Council of Foreign Relations, controlled it all. Specifically. Since 1887, they infiltrated the churches. Education, 1908, completely infiltrated. Daniel 7, 3 to 7, his words link up with what Matthew had. Daniel's Old Testament. Look, Matthew, and I'm sorry, John. John and Matthew, Daniel didn't hang out at Starbucks. You understand? They did not know each other. And John didn't carry a books of Daniel with him, say, well, I got to make this match out. An angel told Daniel what to write. And these two books combined, Revelation 22, 18, 19, don't add to or take away from the prophecies of this book. Talking about the entire Bible. God saw it as an entire Bible, entire book. Now, the first beast is the head of the revived Roman Empire. That'll exist in a teen kingdom form. He rises out of the sea, a type of Gentile nations. He has 10 horns, by the way. Daniel predicted that the Roman Empire would be revived in a 10 kingdom form. Daniel 7:24. He has 7 heads, 10 horns. 17:9, 10 of these are said to be 7 kings. A possible reference to 7 different types of rulers or 7 different stages of an empire. He has 10 diadems on his horns. These speak of the power to rule, which is given him by the dragon, which is Satan, over them. His blasphemous names on his heads. He makes claims for himself as he were God and not a mere man. Now, family, let me show you how close we are to to what's going on. The shooting in Paris, France, that was a preempt. What did you see in the photo of the heads of states? That you just don't happen that overnight. They all just don't form together in France. Hey, y'all, Merkel says to Cameron, you going to meet me there, right? Yeah, we're going to meet Starbucks, right? They got Starbucks. Oh, really? We'll have a crumpet. Okay, whatever. We'll meet you. Seven of them. Six or seven. Arm in arm, marching with the marchers in Paris, France, for the shooting of the 12 that never happened. But you see a photo, nice photo. Maybe if one day you can get them all signature, take a world travel and make sure all seven sign it for you. You know what they were? Germans. Merkel, the daughter of Hitler, by the way. I had to throw there. Hitler came over in 46, you know. Operation Paperclip. Hitler didn't die in 1968. You have Germany. You had Swiss. Who's the Swiss guy? You had the French guy, the French leader, and the Italian. The English guy, Cameron, was there, and the Portuguese and Spanish were all there. That's seven. Were there in that picture? When you go over history and you look at the seven, he had 10 members of the Roman Empire, divided Rome into 10 different sections. You know what they were? Yeah, German, Swiss, French, Italy, England, Portuguese, and Spanish. You want to calculate the odds for that one? And then you have the three with the Ostrogoths, Heruli, and the Vandals. Three more, but they're extinct now, but they'll form them back up. That makes 10. Daniel 7 was fulfilled. Although not publicly yet, not completion of Scripture, but you're seeing ahead of it. It's called the EU. You ever heard of the European Union? Yeah. Revival of the Holy Roman Empire. That's how close we are. It's not formed up yet. They need a major instant to come together. And then you can say prophecy has been fulfilled. What you're seeing now is the setup. What you saw on that photo was the revived Roman Empire, arm in arm. That photo was a message. That photo was a secret message to those that know. I don't know if some of y'all caught this already or not, but how significant what I just said it really is. That photo was not accidental. That's letting the Illuminati know, the families know, how close they are. Everybody else sees it as solidarity and all this other cooked marshmallows around a campfire and so forth, this kind of stuff, but it's way beyond that. The beast is like a leopard, his feet like a bear, and the mouth like a lion. You know, in Daniel 7, the leopard symbolizes Greece. It's not accidental. And the bear is a type of Medo-Persia. Who was Greece? Alexander. And the bear is a type of Medo-Persia that Daniel prophesied in that dream. Who is that? Cyrus. And the lion represents Babylon. Who is that? Nebuchadnezzar. The revived Roman Empire then resembles its predecessors, and it is swift to conquer like a leopard, as powerful as a bear, and greedy as a lion. So in short, it combines all evil features in the preceding world empires, all in one, coming down 10 toes of what I think, metaphorically for me, is just smelly feet. But the empire and its ruler receives supernatural strength through Satan. So now the beast has a mortal wound. One of the heads. Schofield, he talks, he says, fragments of the ancient Roman Empire have never ceased to exist as separate kingdoms. It was the imperial form of government which ceased to happen. The one head wound to death, the deadly wound is healed. In other words, the empire is revived with an emperor as head, namely the beast. Now you see how close we really are. And the beast is worshipped by men. They're not only amazed by this, but they actually worship him as God. They also worship the dragon. Obama's the Antichrist? Come on. Prince William? Come on. No. You haven't seen this one yet. He'll be martial looking, handsome, strong, a Nimrod type of person, powerful looking, command respect. He'd be liked at first. Well, there's like 20 some scriptures that talk about him. And I have also a description, actual description from the Illuminati's own textbooks. The beast will make proud boasts and other unspeakable blasphemies, and he is allowed to make war for 42 months. He'll come in with peace and prosperity to placate and then destroy. He'll speak with callous irreverence against God's name and the tabernacle and the host of heaven. He will make war in the fifth seal with God's people. He overcomes many of them. But remember, I've talked about death before. Death is simply removing you from a planet that's going to receive unheralded judgment upon it. But they die rather than submit to this Antichrist. His rule will extend over all the world and the last world empire before Christ reign on earth in 1,000 years. Armageddon's the separation there. They got to make it look like we're already at Armageddon to bring the false Christ on. You see how it works? So they got to have a fake Armageddon. And one thing they got going for them is Russians, China together, the so-called communist nations, against NATO and America and all this other. They'll divide us up into four. It's a long story. But God will allow it to happen. We're definitely not blessed. No way. How many states of same-sex marriage getting ready to legalize marijuana? Child euthanasia. Come on now. The wars we talked about. The dictators we've allowed. 500,000 some children missing every year. A lot of them just go to the government for use that a lot of people don't realize. God's going to bless that? No, not. And the church is falling away using the wrong Bibles. Come on now. Revelation 13:8, you see, those who are not true believers will worship the beast. They never trusted Christ in the first place. Their names were never written in the book of life. The ones that Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Even though they give prophecy, they gave to the poor, they did all kinds of things and works. He says, I never knew you. Depart from me. Because their names are not found written among the redeemed. They're given over to error, and they will not believe the truth, and now they believe a lie. God will turn them over to a reprobate mind. When you go to 13:9, it's a warning to everyone to accept the light of God's word when it's available now. That there's not a famine of the word. The consequence of rejecting light, truth from God, is to have the light denied. It's called being turned over to a reprobate mind. So, true believers, those that truly have faith, are assured that their persecutors shall go into captivity and be killed with a sword. But that enables the saints to wait in patience and faith. And you'll find in the Old Testament, there's a prophecy of such. Psalms 34:21. Yeah, people don't talk about this much. Psalms 34:21. It's just one little verse that just pops out of nowhere. It doesn't make any sense being where it's at. That's because it's very significant. That's why. Psalms 34:21. See, 34:16 and on says the following. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. That's a warning right there. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears, delivers them out of their troubles. 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saves such as be of a contrite spirit. 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Then all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, Psalms 34:20 says, He keepeth all his bones, and not one of them is broken. It's like, huh? Where'd that come from? What are you talking about? Family, that's a prophecy that God just had stuck in there, David. Write this. Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't even follow the other verses. And who was he talking about? That prophecy coming from God to David to write in Psalms. Jesus didn't have any of his legs broken. And then he pops in the next one, another. It got your attention? They say, well, here's another one. Psalms 34:21 says, evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. And the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Evil shall slay the wicked. Where'd that come from? That's another prophecy that's not been fulfilled yet. That they're going to fight each other. There's people telling me on the YouTube when I write, and Facebook, it was last, I guess last week or this week, I forgot. Anyway, that we're all going to rise up and be army fighting like on, you know, Lord of the Rings or something. We're going to have millions of Christians with swords or something. I don't know. And we're going to fight in God's army against these stupid movies, man, got people so messed up. No, it's going to be the evil fighting each other. Everybody thinks they're going to start carrying swords around and defeating evil and monsters and giants and all this other, and everybody's going to carry a slingshot or something. I don't know. That's not what's going to happen. God fights those battles. Why do you think the Illuminati and the eugenics program, transhumanism, they're trying the super soldiers and all that? To fight what? To fight an angel. They know that the humans, that be us, they can't form an army of humans to fight angelic races. See, that's the dimensional capacity of these fallen angels, is they don't know the power of God. They think they're going to be able to defeat God in his own game by controlling the weather, which they can. They control the weather, but not to God's level. By earthquakes, tornadoes, they control those. But all God's got to do is change their frequency of vibration. And they lose total control. Their technology will be destroyed in the sixth seal. Only way they can do it is by technology. And God destroys that in the sixth seal. See, family, you know the answer because the answer is in the book. Apparently, they don't. They don't trust it. Their pride causes them to think otherwise. They will fail. And they won't die until God allows them to. For 6 months, they will live through the torment of the seven trumpets. That period of time, they will not be able to die. They'll seek death, but can't find it. They'll escape death. They're going to. They won't be under nice conditions to do it, though. And then they will start to die. Now, in 1311, the second beast, another prominent figure of the tribulation, he works in close cooperation to the first beast, even organizing an international campaign for the worship of the first beast and of a huge idol representing the Roman emperor. The second beast comes out of the earth, of the land, and the land of Israel is in view. This leader is almost surely a Jew. He is the false prophet. But what a lot of people don't realize, a false prophet will be synonymous to Emmanuel. Revelation 16, 13, 19, verse 20. And you'll find Revelation 20, verse 10. I'll say again for the false prophet. I've got to move on here. Revelation 19, verse 20, and Revelation 20, verse 10. And you'll have two horns like a lamb. Don't your fingers stick up like that satanic Baphomet, the hook'em horns? How about that? That's a curse. That's a satanic symbol. The two horns. That's what that really means. Gives the appearance of gentleness and harmlessness, but also suggests that he impersonates the Lamb of God. He speaks like a dragon, indicating that he's directly inspired and empowered by Satan. In Revelation 13, 12 to 14, what he does here is exercises all the authority of the first beast. What that means is that that the Roman Empire gives him unlimited authority to act in his behalf. He has supernatural powers, even causing fire to fall from heaven. That can be done supernaturally to a certain degree or by technology. The purpose of his miracles is to deceive the people into worshiping a man as God. He gives animation to the great image. And the abomination of desolation, 3.5 years into the tribulation, when he marches into Jerusalem, declares himself to be God. The great image, the giant that can actually speak, and the penalty for refusing to worship it is death. So those atheists that don't believe in anything supernatural, you're accountable to there also. In 13:16, the second beast insists that people indicate their allegiance to the Roman emperor, the revival of the Roman Empire, but the emperor by wearing the mark of the beast on the right hand or on the forehead. So this technology, this mark, you give an oath. It has to be voluntary. In 13:17, in addition to the mark, the beast has a name and a mystical number. So unless a person takes the mark, name, and number of the beast, he'll not be able to buy or sell. So it's an effort to force men to, by economic means, to forsake Christ for idolatry. It'll be a severe test. The true believers will prefer death by renouncing their Savior. John MacArthur, of famed evangelist, says it's okay to take the mark of the beast. I got the recording. See, these clergymen are changing over now. They're switching over. So finally, the number of the beast is 666. Six is the number of man. So the fact that it's one less than seven, well, if you're into numerology, which I'm not, I just study enough that I need a cursory study. It's one less than seven. It suggests that man's fallen short of the glory or the perfection of seven. The three sixes are a trinity of evil. All these are almost Bible studies in themselves. You know, one of the biggest questions that people raise up in connection with chapter 13, a very, very significant chapter today because of what's going on in Paris, but that's whether the first or second beast is the Antichrist. It is confusing a little bit. The argument for the first being, the Antichrist, is that he insists upon being worshipped as God. And those that, well, hold out that the second beast is the Antichrist, point out that no Jew could ever accept a Gentile or a Messiah as a Messiah. Arabs wouldn't. So that since the second beast is a Jew, he must therefore be the false Messiah. Right now, I believe, is significant, especially this time period. Because what happened in France, and then arm in arm, hand in hand, of the world leaders, they got my attention one day. When I was watching, I said, wait a minute. And then all of a sudden, all this started coming to place about the revived Holy Roman Empire. You know, there's 81 criteria of identification of the beast of Revelation 13, and all point to the Church of Rome. The Church of Rome is Christianity, Roman Catholicism. That's the origin of it. It will re-spiritualize into the New Age movement, back to what it was before, actually. Before it got, well, Christianized. That's where all the pagan holidays come from. All of them. Christmas, Easter. You could turn them around, except for Halloween. You can't turn that around. That's pretty obvious. This is amazing. To me, this is amazing. It works. It all fits together. Oh, wow. So the church, Roman Catholic Church, will morph, will change into the New Age movement. And did you know, in 1949, 1950, Martin Luther King, in some of his writings, wrote about, I got a copy of it, a 2-3 page on how the New Age movement, has infiltrated or covered over the Roman Catholic Church. Man, he's still way ahead of his time. I found it one day. I said, wow. I said, whoa. He is way ahead of every church I know of today, even. He's already writing about how the New Age movement, the New Age, was going to overtake the Roman Catholic Church. Was an umbrella for it. He already wrote about it. That man was brilliant, man. That man was brilliant. You go to church today and talk about it, they'll look at you like you got three heads. They better start teaching it. 81 criteria for identifying the beast of Revelation 13. If you try to trace all 81 criteria in a brief account, well, you're going to be one busy, busy individual. It is given unto him to make war with the saints, overcome them, Revelation 13:7. Certainly is applicable to Roman Catholic Church, as I've talked about a lot of my Bible study, broadcast, how they've been responsible for every war. We've supported, as controlled by the Vatican, Pol Pot, Castro, all of them. Ayatollah Khomeini, the Shah, then the Shah turned good, we brought Saddam Hussein in. I mean, we've controlled every single one, as ordered by the Vatican. our government, our militaries, under the guise of fighting for freedom. Man, we've been fooled, hooked, and crooked. But the individual accepting Jesus as Savior is what it's all about. Estimates of those destroyed by his vengeance was 50 to 120 million people, but we know it's more than that even. Inquisition, with just the St. Bartholomew massacre in the 16th century, was 100,100 people in 1 week or 10-day period. Wow. But you know, it could justifiably be applied to communism, to Emperor Nero or Emperor Diocletian or others as well. Even though the Roman Catholic Church controls the communism, created it through Roman Albert Pike, Karl Marx, Manzini, Clinton Roosevelt, Adam Weishaupt, who was a Jesuit priest, where communism came from. Amazing stuff. Very amazing. And it all works out. I mean, it all comes together. There's a number of criteria presented in the verses between Daniel 7, 19, verse 20, and 24, and 25. So starting off, it's Daniel 7, 19, Daniel 7, 20, 24, and 25. And you have a lot of criteria presented in those verses alone. The first is that the little horn will come out of the ten horns of the fourth beast. Now that representative of Imperial Rome. Now these ten horns are the ten kings or kingdoms. They came out of Europe as a Roman Empire. They disintegrated, remember? Rome was destroyed from within, not from the outside like Babylon or Medo-Persia or Greece was. Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus or Alexander. Alexander was defeated by Rome. But Rome was defeated from within inside itself, by its own self. A fifth column strategy. Daniel 7:24. It disintegrated. The ten kingdoms, three of which became extinct and seven survived, which are the ones I just named a little while ago. How about that? Seven for seven. The second criteria is that the little horn would uproot three of the other horns so it would emerge, Daniel 7, 20 and 24. And the third criterion out of 81 upon which you'd like to focus is that the power would continue secretly for a mysterious period of time and times and the dividing of time, Daniel 7, verse 25. Now, I want to talk about this in more detail tomorrow, because this is really starting to get interesting. Also, well, I will do it anyway, but I see it coming to fruition. It all matches Daniel, Isaiah, Book of Revelation. It all comes to place, and now it's coming to place even in our lives today. As I try to point out here, the nation's arm in arm in Paris after the shooting. Ferguson shooting is keeping us busy at each odds of each other until they can't stand anymore. And then someone's going to rise up and say, come on, can't we all just get together under one religion? See where they're headed? They're already trying to do that now. And this beast describes the demolishing of the papacy as a deadly wound, but when men believed the papacy received a fatal blow, all seeing God knew otherwise. Daniel gave prophecy of the Roman Empire without knowing it and didn't exist then. It came together after. He didn't say, oh, the Roman Empire. He's talking about the Roman Empire, but we know it today as a Roman Empire. But it wasn't even formed up then. It was like 10 barbarian tribes that just came together and poof, voila, you got the Roman Empire. And then it destroyed itself, as I said before. And Daniel and Book of Revelation, John, coincide with the different types of beasts. Leopard beast of Daniel's 7-6. Or Greek, the leopard beast of Daniel. And the Medo-Persia is the bear, as I said. And Babylon, the lion. And all which defied God of heaven. But God foresaw that the deadly wound would be healed. So precisely, around 538 to 1798, the beast power had ruled supreme secretly, but was not yet to be totally destroyed. But the 1260 is mostly the days, at 3.5 years, during the period of tribulation. And the days that you saw there also that that secretly the Roman Empire was together, but it was public. It ruled supreme about 1798. The healing process was commenced only 2 years after the Pope's arrest and 1 year after his death, and the military reverses caused Napoleon to call a battalion of troops in Rome under the command of his brother Joseph Bonaparte, 1800. The cardinals returned and elected Pope Pius VII. And the papacy was weak, impotent, but a thread of life was restored to it. Incredibly, Napoleon invited the Pope to crown him emperor, and impulsively, at the last moment, Napoleon grasped the crown out of the Pope's hand and crowned himself. But he did not bestow upon the Pope the two massive and magnificent porcelain candlesticks, 8 foot in height. They lighted the throne during the coronation ceremony and Notre Dame Cathedral, and the gift is still on display in the Vatican Museum, by the way. Didn't work out so well for Napoleon. He's a Freemason, by the way. But didn't work out too well for him. The Rothschilds made a lot of money out of the Battle of Waterloo. That's another story. We'll talk tomorrow in more detail. Keep your eyes on the Buddhists and Hindus. They're going to start taking center stage shortly. So if the Roman Catholic Church morphs into the Roman Empire, what is of Islam and Zionism? That's World War III. The descendants of Ishmael versus descendants of Isaac and Jacob. Will fight to complete exhaustion, allowing the Roman Empire to emerge as victor by default. And you see it all transpire, as we've been saying. We're right at the end of the program, and I think it's a good place to stop. We'll talk more about 13 tomorrow. This is quite interesting, because now you can see, you can touch, smell, and feel. See it starting to transpire. So do your study on Revelation 13 and see how it works out. And then we'll cover the rest of it tomorrow night. And keep in mind, I got broadcast 4 to 6 tomorrow, part 3 of Martin Luther King. Except I'm going to give you the whole picture now tomorrow. Of historical background, civil rights movement, even further back than what people talk about, and where it really came from. Remind you all that HighPointRadio.net, John Kirkler, plays my broadcast and Bible studies. John Kirkler at highpointradio.net in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. He has sponsors up there. And do go check his website. And if you live in any of these places, New Jersey or New York or Pennsylvania, if you're close by, any of these sponsors, use them. If you see fit and all. And he's doing a good job up there. He's happy. Says he's living his dream. He's got the, like, antennas in those areas, and he's doing his broadcasting and all that. So apparently it's working out really well. Now, thank you all for your cooperation on that, apparently, and thank you. My Bible study is, my website is watchmanforjesus.com, and my Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. So tomorrow I'll be back, 4 to 6. And family, thank you all for coming by. And Revelation 13, we'll finish up tomorrow. And talking about the beasts. That's going to be coming up. Lord, thank you tonight for bringing us together in Bible study. Father, in closing, Father, lead us tonight. Put our minds with wisdom discernment to be able to see through these deceptions. Father, we see so much massive deception is coming out of the pulpits, Father, from the networks, from the computers and so forth, the media that they're using. They've even formed task force, Father, to lead us away from the truth. Father, we call upon you, Lord, to bless us with wisdom discernment. Help our families, Lord, to take the scales from their eyes. Put the Holy Spirit in their heart, Lord, and guide them with divine appointments in the right path. Father, we do pray for healing, spiritual healing, physical healing. We pray for all to have wisdom and discernment. And Father, to wake up these churches and to bring the leaders out. And we pray, Father, in all these things, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you all for coming by. And I've already got, two broadcasts, past 2 days, of Martin Luther King already archived and up. And then tomorrow will be up, too. And tonight will be up shortly for this broadcast on my archives. So to say down home, wait a minute, I am down home. As we say down home, hey, y'all, thank you for dropping by, and y'all come back now here. So we'll see y'all tomorrow at 4 to 6. And be safe, study up, and pray. Good night. God bless.
And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Every day.